Okay, as you know, we're doing a series on God's promises, and this is the fourth one in the series. And this particular promise is to give his people wisdom. I am the right person, completely the wrong person to be dealing with this one, because as you know, I'm not the wisest of people in the world, but in that respect, I'm probably the right one, because it means I've had to delve into the Bible to find out what I should know by now. And it's quite exciting, to be honest, but I'm hoping that you'll join me in enjoying finding out how God gives us wisdom. There's so much in the Bible about wisdom, and obviously only going to be a brief study of what wisdom is, the effects of wisdom, and the benefits of wisdom. And the benefits come if we act on the first two. Helpfully, in his letter to all Christians everywhere, James covers this topic. And in chapter 1, verse 5, he says this: "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." And then later in chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Now, before I go on, I'd like to read Proverbs chapter 2. Doing well here. I've just opened chapter 20. Let's try chapter 2. I'm reading from the NIV, although some of my sermon comes from the King James, which you'll see why in a little while. "Moral Benefits of Wisdom" is the title. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth," and "from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk his blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the path of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it." So in brief, that's sort of saying that wisdom and knowledge and understanding go together. I'll come back to those a little bit later, my first thoughts as I was thinking about the topic went straight to Solomon. I think he's the most famous one for wisdom in the Bible. When he took over from his father, David, who was the king of Israel, he took over after David died, obviously. And because he loved the Lord and walked in the same statutes of his father David, God asked him, whatever he would like, he would give him. Now, that's quite some offer, isn't it? Wouldn't we like that? Solomon quickly realized what an awesome task it was to follow in his father's footsteps. And he felt a little overwhelmed by the number of people in the land and was not sure how he was going to do all that was required of him. So he asked for a discerning heart to govern and to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. God was pleased with his request and gave him wisdom and a very great insight, a breadth of understanding that you could not measure. And his wisdom was greater than anyone before him and indeed ever since after him. And as an extra, he also gave him great wealth and power. Now, there was peace in the country at that time. David had more or less fought all his life when he was king against the people all around. And it got to that point where there was no more fighting. He'd conquered it all and there was peace. So Solomon recognized that he could concentrate on building the temple for God. And because of the peace, he was able to call on friends in high places and ask for all the materials he needed to build the temple, which they agreed to and to give, and he was able to fund the whole project. This was the same God who Moses prayed to, recorded in Psalm 90, on behalf of the children of Israel. After they spent 40 years in the desert, he prayed, teach us to live wisely. They had turned away from God so many times in the wilderness. They'd complained when things got tough, and they didn't appreciate the miracles that he'd performed for them all through those 40 years. So Moses knew what he was asking. Teach us to live wisely. And this was just before they entered the promised land. So what is the wisdom that James spoke about, that Solomon prayed for, and Moses wished for his people? James said, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. This is where King James comes in. I started to look in a concordance for information without realizing I slipped into King James version using the words from that version. They all mean the same thing, but sound different. First of all, are pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. It'd be useful to know what these words actually mean, and at the same time, the effects that these words should have on us. Pure. The first effect of wisdom on the mind is to make it pure. That is to make it upright, sincere, candid, and holy. The word here means to purify the heart, to make you upright, inoffensive, and good. The effect is on the individual consciences of people, showing the effect of your religion on your heart and life. A pure spirit is the best prompter of peace. that leads on neatly to the next one, which said peaceable. The effect of wisdom from above will tend to make a person live in peace with all others. This doesn't refer just to your own inner peace, which Christians have in their own mind, but in concord with, concord and peace with other people, as opposed to contention among the people here. Some people like to be contentious and quarrel a lot, mostly about minor points. Sometimes it's doctrine, discipline, political views, even Moses' dress in ceremonies. These are not supported by Scripture and shows a lack of love for the Prince of Peace, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. The next one is gentle. Gentleness of spirit, mild-mannered, inoffensive. From this came the word gentleman, someone who is gentle in words. His words are kind, apt, timely, unprejudiced, calm, forthright, and few. The highest compliment you can give to a man is that he is a Christian gentleman. And I'm sure it's the same for a lady, that you're a Christian lady. The next is open to reason. This is someone who is not obstinate, not stiff or stern or unyielding, holding a point of view, whether it's right or wrong, but someone who is ready to yield when truth requires him to, and is willing to sacrifice his own convenience for the good of others. Paul explained it in this way: even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people: non-religious, religious, meticulous, moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated and demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did this all because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to live it and be in on it. In other words, he accepted the people he was talking to, so that when he understood their way of thinking, he could then explain the message he was bringing in a way that they could understand. The next thing was the full of mercy and good fruits. This is someone who is disposed to be compassionate to other people. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." In other words, when they see a need and help to alleviate the problem, he illustrated this by saying, "If anyone gives a cup of water to one of these little ones in my name, he will recognize it." He'll recognize it as helping one of his creatures and regard it as being done to him, and he will reward them. The fruits of good living: being just, benevolent, having kind actions. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 1:9-11, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God." So he sees our good deeds when we do them in the name of Jesus, and helps us to know when to give or to help. Impartial. Our true action as a believer, actions as a believer, are controlled by the Spirit, and therefore we should be impartial in our treatment of others, which means we're not influenced by which means we're not influenced by a regard to someone's dress, their rank or station in life, but people treat people equally according to their moral worth and showing kindness to all according to the needs and their wants. And lastly, sincere. There should be no hypocrisy with a Christian. We should always be sincere in our belief and actions. We should not be ashamed or embarrassed by our beliefs and do not need to mask or conceal what we feel. If we are showing the wisdom which is from above, then who should be ashamed of it? We should not be afraid, because it could be that our Christian influence could and does spread the gospel around the world. Okay, you say, how do I get this wisdom? Proverbs chapter 2 gives us a whole list of how to get wisdom from God. It's the one that we read there. Firstly, accept God's word. Believe it and read it and ask God to help you understand it. And accept that his words are the truth. Secondly, remember these words. Keep them in your memory. Thirdly, listen to the wisdom that is in his words. Fourthly, make the effort to take to heart what he says and understand what he is saying. Then put it into practice. The fifth one, call out for insight. Then you find it. So when you find it hard to understand, I'll do that one again. My glass is not quite in focus at this distance. Call out for insight. When you find it hard to understand, ask God to help you and see what it is that he is saying. The sixth one, show God you really want to understand. Ask, read around the topic to widen your knowledge, then put it into practice. The seventh, don't give up because you don't understand straight away. Just keep reading, search for it. Number eight is, find what knowledge God is giving you from what you have read, then use it. Remember, it is the Lord that gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Okay, so how do we benefit from being given wisdom? He gives victory for the upright. That means we are better in our behavior. There is less fault in what we do and what we say. When we say no to evil or to the devil by not reacting to different situations in a negative way, we can show understanding and patience and care. God has given us victory over the way the devil would have us be. His name, his name is glorified by the way we live. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. That means we may get a negative reaction from other people, but he will make us strong to withstand criticism and even attack. Not everyone accepts the blameless way, but we can be an example of what it is to live a blameless life. He guards the just. This is the same as the shield. He guards us and helps us on the right path and not turn from it. When the attacks come, he is righteous and help us to keep that way too. Then, as you do all that, you will understand what is right, just and fair. Says that in verse 9. And in verse 10, wisdom will enter your heart. So there you've got the three parts. But there is more. Something else to take home with you. Proverbs 3 verse 18 says this: wisdom is the tree of life. Proverbs 10:11 says this: the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Proverbs 11:30 says this: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So there we've got the how to get wisdom, the benefits from it, and now putting it into practice, this is what's happening, should be happening. Genesis 2 says this: God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that are pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the trees were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When Adam sinned and ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God turned him and Eve out of the garden in case they ate from the tree of life. Now, listen to this bit. God is giving us the opportunity of tasting the tree of life by giving him, by giving us wisdom from himself. Now, there's a thought. Adam and Eve had the, if you like, the means there in the center of the garden. If they hadn't sinned, then we wouldn't know what it was like to live in sin. We would know how God actually planned it from the beginning. And he's given us the opportunity of tasting the tree of life by giving us wisdom from himself. So those bits of wisdom that we're taking and using are all little bits that he's changed in our lives to make us more like what he wanted. So wisdom changes us from our sinful nature to the nature he originally intended. He wants us to be righteous. There wasn't much of that in the politician's manifesto last week, was there? The weeks before. He wants us to be righteous. By what we say and do as Christians, that glorifies his name. It's speaking out righteousness and sharing the fountain of life with others. This is worth sharing because the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. He doesn't expect us to be able to do this in our own strengths, but provided us with the way through Jesus Christ. His son came to the earth to show us the way to his Father. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Sadly, the religious people in his day did not believe him and accused him of blasphemy by calling himself the Son of God. Jesus knew that sin could only be dealt with by the shedding of blood and chose to give his life to save us from our sins. He was hung on a cross and left to die by the religious leaders of that time. But that was not the end, because Jesus had victory over death and rose again to new life to show that he is the Son of God. The forgiveness of sins is in his power. And if we are sorry for our sins and ask him to forgive us, then we are made clean and new and have a peace with God. That is the beginning of the life that comes from the tree of life. It is eternal. And when we go to be with the Lord, we shall know what God intended from the beginning. Also, he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us live that life which we have spoken about this morning. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." If you want to know God better, Paul is asking God to give you the spirit of wisdom. And we have seen from what I've shown this morning how to get to know him better by reading and learning more about him. And I said at the beginning, wisdom and knowledge go together. And we never stop learning. It is what we are learning that helps us to be wise in the right way. I hope that's helped you to realize that you probably have more wisdom than you appreciated as you live the Christian life. We can improve and appreciate the benefits of more wisdom and look forward to living the eternal life both here on earth and in heaven when we go to be with the Lord and sharing it with others.